those prayer cloths?
Because they work. I remember that anointing that was given to us that day when they were all cut up in a shoebox, and then poof, just the Spirit of God hit us, and the rest after that. Miracles, signs, and wonders on that. We serve a real living God, and this God is alive and living. And he's right now bringing a word. And the word is to divide spirit and soul. And, you know, you have to ask yourself, what is the purpose of even coming here on earth? What is the purpose to really try to find God's will or what have you? But the bottom line is, and it's a simple gospel, but it's the truth, is where we have to divide soul and spirit. We have to be able to allow the soul to diminish and let the Spirit of God resurrect. You know, Jesus made a comment, and we are followers of this book here. It's called the Holy Bible. And, you know, we're speaking to people around the world. Some of them have never even seen this book before. But this is the only book that I know that bears witness with what was given to us. And through this book, it's a book of mysteries. And most people read this book through the soul. And you can't comprehend this book because the soul doesn't have the mind of the Spirit. The soul doesn't have the mind of the Spirit. How many people understand that? And we need the mind of the Spirit in order to understand this book. And God has graciously given us the mysteries and the ancient secrets, I want to say. He's poured his Spirit out on us, and now we have the mind of Christ who can comprehend this book. How many people have read this book called the Holy Bible and read it and was like, what the heck are they saying? Or you might have been able to interpret it, but you interpret it in a natural sense. And I'll bring a reference in a little bit coming out of here. When the Bible speaks about man, he speaks of the soul. When he speaks of Christ, he speaks of the Spirit. When God says, well, when Jesus or whoever said it, I think it was God, but it came out of John, says, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that who should ever believe in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. Well, the natural mind begins to interpret several different things. Oh, that must mean Jesus. He gave his only begotten Son. Jesus. Jesus is God's only begotten Son. Or they would interpret it in the sense of Jesus. He gave his only begotten Son, Jesus. Which the truth is, God has given his Spirit to each and every one of us. That's his Son. The Son is the Spirit of the living God. And it's our job to find this Son, not to find Jesus. When Jesus said to Peter, who do you say I am? And Peter says, I am the Christ. You know what that meant? He said, you are a man who has been transformed into the living Spirit. It is no longer you that live, but the Christ that lives within you. He realized that Jesus, the man, was a life-giving Spirit now. And it was no longer the man that lived, the carnal mind. He got to the point where he says, I only do what the Father tells me to do. I only say what the Father tells me to say. And so he began to live his life in spirit. Now I want to share to our listeners and those that are here today, how do you get into the Spirit? What is it to get into the Spirit? Well, for one, the soul cannot enter in. The soul cannot enter in. So all those individuals out there that are doing the religious acts and the works, and they're going to their, you know, organizations or what have you, and they're listening to the sermons, and they might even be doing the works of ministry. And this is what brought us to that scripture. But Lord, Lord, we did all these things in your name. And he says, get away from me, you worker of iniquity. I never knew you. And you hear the cry of the heart of the believers. But Lord, Lord, we did all these things in your name. And he's like, you know, get away from me. Now that in itself sparked something up inside of us to really seek God deeper and say, God, if we're going to be ministers of your word, if we're going to be ministers of to your people, we don't want to be duped and think that, you know, we're doing all the works of the ministry, but then we get up there and we hear this, Lord, Lord, but Lord, Lord, we did all these things in your name. Get away from me, you worker of iniquity. I never knew you. Now, how many people get a little scared about that? I would. I'm still checking myself. Lord, but Lord, Lord, are you shucking me away? You know, are you pushing me away? But I know in my heart he's not. You know, we can live in the kingdom now. We don't have to wait until we leave to find out if the Lord is pleased with us or not. He gives you that spoken voice in your heart and says, well done, my faithful servant. But to find the Spirit is resurrected. And the only way that we can find the Spirit is we acknowledge one thing, and that's God's love. Now, we've heard this, and I was talking to Pastor Sam throughout the week, and, you know, he has this time on his hands to really soak and hear what God is saying about the message, and he's been listening to it over and over and over, and he's been getting, you know, nuggets from heaven, and he calls me back up and, you know, throws these things at me, and I love to see the hunger that's coming out of him through this message. And I share with him, and the light is just getting brighter and brighter in the concept of this truth. And he's beginning to understand in a greater way, to the point where his eyes are beginning to see that almost the whole world is operating in the realm of the soul. And they're moving and operating in the gifts and the works of the Spirit and everything else, but are still in the realm of the soul. And, you know, we go through troubles. How many people go through troubles and persecutions and difficulties and annoyances and all that other things? And a lot of times, most of the time, these things shall pass. And then in a week or two, it's not as bad as you thought it was going to be. Has any one of us heard this saying, you confess with your lips, but your heart is so far from me? Well, this is the problem. This is the veil that is between the flesh and the spirit. And I don't think many cross through the veil. They are operating within a mind, because the soul doesn't want you saved. How many people understand the soul don't want you saved? The soul operates in the realm of darkness. We are born in soul, like the dust of the earth, but with the Spirit of God. And the Spirit of God is dead. How many people have heard this verse? I die with Christ, I'm raised with Christ. Well, this is what the scriptures is saying, where Christ in itself was a man. He died knowing that he was going to be resurrected. There's a resurrection. Not many people understand what a resurrection is. To be born again. What really is to be born again? And there's a veil between this truth. And the problem is the veil has not been torn in most of our lives. And I'm going to give you the sword to tear the veil. And it's a simple one. And we hear it all the time. But the problem is, I think we have taken it as a common thing. And it comes to the point where now our minds are confessing it, But our heart is so far from it. And this is what it is. Trusting God. Literally trusting Him. Trusting Him with all your heart and soul and mind. Trusting Him. And how you can gauge yourself. The importance of trying to gauge yourself is simple. When you hear something bad, what's the first reaction? Now, I've seen a lot of maturity in people's lives. I'm going to give credit to Pastor Kurt, because I've seen maturity within the last 6 months just go through the roof. Just out of the words that is spoken out of his mouth, I can hear the truth, the revelation, the glory of God that is coming out. And I'm so grateful in my heart. And I know why his children are born in spirit, because they broke the curse. And God's promise is your whole household shall be saved. See, we have to understand something here, that when we, as parents, I guess you could say, come into the spirit and the soul dies, God's promise is that curse is broken. And now our children are raised in spirit. I have that in my family. I know Pastor Tim's going to have it in his family. It's happening. It's his children are in spirit. And then those that are listening, I hope and pray that the parents out there begin to grab hold of the importance of coming into spirit so that this curse is broken. It's a curse. When we were born in the world. The father, we'll just call it, was the soul. You know, you hear God say, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. Well, reverse it the other way. Let's say the father of lies or darkness has hated the world so much that he gave his only begotten son, and that whoever follows that son it will not have everlasting life and will be dead forever and ever and ever. And what happened was we were born in the soul. It's just the way it is. You got to take it and embrace it and then begin to start denying the soul. The soul has to be sacrificed. Jesus was an example for us to follow in the sense of laying down his soul, laying down his life. He laid his life down. Now, how do you lay your life down? I'm going to share with you. You lay your life down because tomorrow is the teacher. Life is going to open up opportunities, good ones and bad ones. Life is going to come to you tomorrow, and it's going to knock on your door. How are you going to react? How are you going to look at it? What is taking your heart away? Right now, your life in itself is troubled because you're concerned about your life. You're living in soul. The outcome? Death. Bad things. And people might not understand this truth. Now, God is always trying to reveal himself. So what happens is, he gave us a promise. And his promise is, he'll never give you more than you can handle. That is why, when tomorrow comes, we hear this saying, these things shall pass. Because he knows that you can only handle so much. This is part of God's love. And if we can see the love of God, we can turn from the soul and embrace the truth so that the truth can set us free. How many of us are sick and tired of having troubles throughout the day? I am. This is how this revelation came to me, because I cried to the Lord and said, God, I am like fed up with every morning waking up and having problems. When am I ever not going to have a problem? And most of the problems aren't even from me. Most of the problems are from everybody else that I happen to share life with. And it's like, man, I would be better if I just like separated myself and found a hole somewhere and I'd be happy. Well, that's exactly what the soul wants. He wants you to run away and separate yourself from everybody and go into a hole somewhere so everything will be just fine and dandy. And then the problems that come into your life, well, who do you got to blame but yourself? But the fact remains, I cried out and said, God, I'm about tired of these problems. Show me what needs to be done. Show me. And it's like breaking the curse in a family. When we come into spirit, these curses are broken. And these problems stop coming. And they stop haunting you. At least it seems like that in my life. Maybe I see it through different lights. Maybe my heart is more strong in an area where it's not a problem anymore. Maybe the spirit is so much stronger than the soul. When the spirit takes on the problem, it's like, this is a joke. But the soul is like, oh, this is too heavy. I can't deal. I gotta run. I began to start seeing that the soul is so weak, but yet the spirit is so strong. And when you come into the spirit takes over and empowers you. And not only empowers you, but comforts you and brings you peace. And the pieces surpass all understanding. Because if you look back and you say to yourself, man, I'm handling this pretty good. About a year ago, I would have been a mess. How many people want to live? How many of us want everlasting life? Well, this is how we get life, an abundance of life. The soul, if the soul continues to live, we're going to walk around in deception. And I feel in my heart, and I was sharing with Pastor Sam, what do? We see so many people suffering, and I believe that they truly have a heart to know God. I truly believe those out there that are hitting the streets to minister, those people there that are holding like, you know, some types of revivals or conferences or whatever, I truly believe somewhere deep inside they want that relationship with God and they want to be right in His eyes. But they're operating in a soul. And then you hear this, get away from me, you worker of iniquity, I never knew you. I want us to gauge ourselves. I want us to come to a point in our lives. God's desire is to walk with us on a daily walk, a constant walk with Him. And this is the question that we have to ask ourselves. Are we walking with God on a daily second moment of the day? Is He always on the back of our minds, on the tip of our tongue? Is he buried deep in our hearts? You know, God wants us to enjoy life, but He wants us to enjoy it with Him. He doesn't want you to worry. He doesn't want you to fear. He doesn't want you to get anxious. He doesn't want you to get upset. He doesn't want you to have any of these manifestations going on at all in your heart. He wants your life laid down. He wants your life surrendered. How often do we walk through the day without God? And how we do it without God is, all of a sudden, we get nervous, we get anxious, we get afraid, we get upset. You know, these are little situations that if we can become aware of, surrender to the will of God, just say, Lord, walk with me. Walk with me. Be with me. You're showing an expression of love, and what he's doing in return, giving his love back. And he endures his spirit within you. God desires nothing more than to have his spirit live within inside of us. God can't stand the soul. The soul is an enemy against God. And we're living in a realm that our lips are confessing, but our hearts are so far from them. And the last thing that I want to ever see is we get duped. Going through all the works, and then when we find out at the end of the day, we hear these words, get away from me, you worker of iniquity, I never knew you. Now, when we're young, we're not too concerned about that. But at the same time, you never know what's around the corner. You know, car accident or something. No one knows how long they have to live. And I truly believe if you hear my voice today and we begin to humble ourselves and say, God, I want to walk with you. I want to walk with you. I want a relationship with you. I want this relationship. And I don't want to be deceived. I don't want to be deceived. That in itself is considered a broken, contrite heart. How many of us are in that place where they are always questioning their salvation? I hope you are. You know, I know in my own life, I want to question my salvation all the time. I want to make sure that I'm living in the right standings of God. Not through works, but through love. If I'm working in love, the Spirit will endure me, and then I will follow through into His will. But the most important thing that we should focus on is, am I in love? Am I in love? You know, we could take a marriage, a couple, a relationship, and you can even question that relationship. Am I in love, or am I just going through the motions? Am I in love? You know, what is love? How do you even distinguish love? Well, the soul only understands conditional love. I know that I'm in love in my relationship. Maybe it's not like fireworks and explosions, but I know that I'm in love. And how do I know I'm in love? I'm constantly thinking of serving her. I'm constantly in that position of saying, well, what would Shelly like? You see? Well, what would she think? And well, let's wait for her. You know, always putting it out there and serving that one. And that's how you know when you're in love. Or is it a conditional love? Well, let's bring her because you know why? She did this today. Or she did that. Well, let's leave her because you know what? She's not good today. She's being bad, so let's just leave her home. And that could be, you know, our relationship with God. I'm in love with God because I need him right now. You know, oh Lord, I'm in trouble. And I love you so much because I'm in trouble. And I need some help here. Oh God, you're the greatest, the powerful creator of the heavens and the earth. And you are my Lord and God. And I need help. It's a conditional soul love. And we take this relationship all the time. And we're duped.
we're not really sure if we're in love. And God, you know, is saying to us, I want to be in love with you. I want love. Because love is our salvation. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. So if we see this love, and the cool thing about it is, he actually gave his love to us. And the soul, that's a good knock on our door. That's the beginning of drawing the soul into a love, because it's conditional. Wow, he gave me love, so I'm going to take this love and I'm going to show him my love. But there's a point where we begin to just show him love on a constant basis. If you're sick and tired of being sick and tired, I'm going to tell you right now, you show love. And when you show love, it happens in the natural realm too. Why do you do these things for him? Well, because he shows me love. Why do you do things for her? Well, because she shows me love. And when we begin to show love, I believe God begins to open up heaven for us. As we begin to show him love, he loves us more and more and more. And if we don't have love, we don't have nothing. Now, I'm going to share something with you in Scripture here. And remember how I said that this book is a spiritual book, and the soul cannot comprehend the Bible. The soul cannot comprehend a spiritual book, because the soul has a natural mind, and when it reads in a natural sense. But when the Spirit reads, it reads with the mind of Christ. It reads through the mind of the Spirit. It reads in the Spirit and sees in the Spirit. So in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, it says, though I speak with tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I have become a sounding brass or a clanging cymbal. Now, when we hear, but have not love, the natural man interprets it and says, I didn't love enough. How many people have read that scripture and put it automatically to say, wow, I didn't love enough. Maybe I should love more. Because if I have not love, I'm like a clanging cymbal and a sounding brass to heaven. So I better just love more. But what he's saying here is, in spirit, though I speak with tongues of men and of angels, but have not, let's say, God. I have become a sounding brass or a clanging cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains, but have not love, I'm nothing. And what it's saying is, I have not God. You know, God is love. And to love God, and that love that God gives you, if I don't have God's love, I am nothing. How do you get God's love? That's the question. How do you get God's love? I'm on a journey. I minister on a personal level. Every week I'm ministering on a personal level. And as I walk with God, he shares with me, and I share with you. And I'm walking with God, and I feel that God says, I want to love you. I want to love you. I woke up that morning and I heard that Roy Orbison song, and it said, I want to love you, or some kind of thing, something about loving me or what have you. And I thought I was singing it to God, and here I realized that God was singing it to me. God wants to love you. Isn't that crazy? You would automatically think, well, God does love me. Does he? That's a good question. Does he? Because I'm going to tell you right now, if you have any pride, he spews you out of his mouth, right? Let's take the full scripture, the whole. You know, when God says, "Get away from me, you worker of iniquity, I never knew you," but Lord, I'm doing all these things in your name. I'm casting out devils. I got faith to move mountains, but if you don't have love, you have nothing. But I'm doing all these things. I prophesy in your name, and I speak in tongues and of angels, and I do all that. How many people are beginning to follow me? I'm going to tell you right now, I am a gifted man. God has poured out gifts on me. I can prophesy, I can see in spirit, I can speak in tongues of angels, I have faith to move mountains. I don't care about all that. Do I got love? This is where I'm at in my walk right now. Do I have love? You know, it's almost like people put love on the back corner and they go running after all the gifts. Let's serve God. Let's do all these things. Let's save souls. Let's see if we have love. And then maybe let the Spirit take us on this great journey of serving Him. I want to go to heaven and I want to hear these words. Well done, my faithful servant. Come. That's all I want to hear. I don't want to be up there and, but Lord, I served the ministry and I gave you everything and I did it all in your name. And how many people are following me on this one? Now, this is message is just to get you hungry. Not to condemn anyone other than to stir up some hunger in you. Maybe forget about everything and find love. How to find love is tomorrow we're all going to be challenged. Yep. Something's going to knock on your door and you're not going to like it. Something's going to come up this week and you're going to be attacked. Something's going to happen. How many people are ready for it? Yeah, bring it on. Test my love. You see? Are we able to walk through the fire and not get burnt? If we can walk through the fire and not get burnt, then we have love. You see? Are we ready to let disappointment be turned around into rejoicing? Are we ready to be able to see those things that aggravate us or cause us to worry turn into rejoicing? If you're like me, I should put a shirt on that says, "I'm still human." I remember I watched this girl walk down the hallway and she had this black shirt with big white letters, "I am human." And I looked at her and I said, "Oh, I love that shirt." But God wants us to be celestial. He wants us to become spirit. He doesn't want us to be human anymore. And we tend to embrace these excuses. "Oh, but Jim, I'm human. But Pastor, you don't understand. I'm human." Yes, but God's desire is for you to be transformed out of that realm of human. How many times are we going to hear about the love of God and how He takes care of all of our needs and how we don't worry, have to worry about tomorrow because He takes care of the birds of the air and the flowers of the fields. And, you know, don't worry about what to wear tomorrow because, you know, He'll provide, you know, the clothes on your back. I'll never forget. God's love. And when those things happen, we repeat ourselves. We're crying in our beer. You see, there's tears in my beer. And we just constantly cry in our pillow and, you know, we're nervous about tomorrow and we're shaken about the situation and we tend to feel like we're being attacked and the devil's after us. Oh, my day is being attacked again and the devil's constantly attacking me. I'm listening to some people I have connected to my Facebook, randomly pick these individuals, and some of them are so-called pastors and stuff, and they always talk about how the devil's attacking them. And I'm like, man, and you're supposed to know the truth? The truth is what sets you free. And the truth to a born-again believer, is the knowledge of the love of God. And if these circumstances are coming against us and we have the love of God, aren't we supposed to be victorious over the devil? Aren't they under our feet? I mean, aren't we supposed to rise above the storm and fly like an eagle? And where are we at? Are we flying? Do we have darkness under our feet? I hope we're still not blaming the devil. The devil, I hope we conquered and put him under our feet. No weapons formed against us shall prosper, amen? Because we have the love of God. Now, we know all the truths. This is what I feel in my heart, that when God says, you confess me with your lips, but your heart is so far from me. We know all the truths. But we grab that pillow and we begin to cry our prayers in it. Oh, God, I love you so much and I need help. I need help right now. Help me get through this. Help me get through that. There's a point where the love covers a multitude of sin. The love covers that soul and buries it. And then the Spirit rises up in victory and in power. I want to see the true church raise up in these last days. I believe God is pouring out His Spirit upon all flesh. I believe that there is a revival that is about to take place. But I believe that the love of God needs to be poured out. Pastor Sam and I have been talking about some things, and I say to him, what do we do? What do we do? We can't just pack our bags and go away, and then that means that our light is being hid under a bush, you see? We got to let this light shine. We got to let this truth be told. We have to bring this stuff out. What do we do? Where do we go from here? The church in itself, how many people are following me when I say the church in itself? I'm talking about the Christian denomination, the world. Listen, we got 50 states in America and there's lots of churches in them. You got family members who are church. You got friends that are church. You got family that is church. They all know it. They all know everything. Even the ones that don't go to church know everything because they've heard it. How many people are following me on this? And it's almost like, how do you bring a message that we might have been hearing for a long time? God loves you. God loves you. Don't worry about it. Become spirit. Lay your life down. Lay your life down. Just lay your life down. Follow the Spirit. God loves you. These are valuable truths, powerful truths. But yet, it's common. How many people have heard those truths? And they're common. How many people saw that it's common? All head knowledge. But what about, get away from me, you worker of iniquity, I never knew you. How about if you're either, I'd rather have you cold and hot than to be lukewarm, or I'll spew you out of my mouth. You know, God will spew us out of our mouths if we're lukewarm. You know, we hear these scripture verses of the heart of God. God says, I resist the proud. I'm seeing it all over the place, in the church. How many people are following me here? Now, I'm not angry at the church one bit. Might sound like I am, but I'm not. I have this bleeding mercy and bleeding compassion for the church, because when I hear, God showed me the church, and he showed me these people who have went to judgment through scripture, and God said, get away from me, you worker of iniquity, I never knew you. And how I saw the church was this. But Lord, Lord, there was a bleeding cry in their hearts. But Lord, Lord, we did all these things in your name. And then God brings me to these scripture verses where it says in 1 Corinthians, though I speak with tongues of men and angels, but I have not love, I become a sounding brass or a clanging cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains, but I have not love, I'm nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, but I have not love, it profits me nothing. You hear all this stuff, you really listen to the scriptures, and I truly take that as I don't have God's love. That means that I'm operating or I'm living in a form of doctrine, but I'm troubled and I'm worried and I'm afraid. I'm just human across my chest. And I'm operating, but I'm just human. I want to take us to another level. Maybe we're going too deep. Maybe we want to stay human. Jim, I'm not ready for this. I just want to go human. You know, and take the simplicity of the gospel where I can still be human and know that Jesus died for my sins and I'm covered in the blood and everything should be all right. How many people have heard that? I know, it's crazy. There are so many different interpretations of the Bible. And most of the interpretation of the Bible is done in a soulish realm where they take what they want. They don't take the scriptures as a whole. They take what they want and they just want to focus on that. But I want you to know the soul, who we are, doesn't want you to have eternal life. The soul wants to deceive, rob, kill, and destroy. Now, there are some doctrines of religion out there that believe that the soul is what you're to save. And the soul is what becomes born again and goes to heaven. How many people believe that, maybe at one time or another, or maybe still believe it? But the soul does not go to heaven. The soul is not saved. Yes, it is saved, and I'm going to tell you how it's saved. In the form that when you are in the world and you're a living soul with no knowledge of God's love, and then it receives truth, that's, I want to say, basically the saving of a soul. Why? Because the soul dies. The soul doesn't live. If the soul lived, it's going to go through torment. It's going to go through persecution. It's going to go through suffering. And this is on an eternal realm. So if you take the life of a soul and you kill it, did you save it? Yes, you did. For example, if you see a little bird, it got hit, boom, and that little bird's suffering, because it got hit by a truck flying down the highway, and it got hit by a truck, and that bird is just like floundering all over the place, and you walked up to it, and you see this little birdie floundering and everything. What are you going to try to do? You're going to try to save it, right? Maybe you'll nourish it and everything else, and you'll try to bring that thing back to life. But that bird's in serious pain. What's your next step? Kill it. Take it out of its misery. Right? How many people would kill it? I know it's tough to kill it. I mean, I have a hard time killing some things. But the reality of it is, take it out of its misery. Take it out of its misery. Just kill it. Okay. And you stomp on it, and it's painful at first. But finally, it's like, man, I'm so glad I took care of that bird, got rid of it, because it was in pain. It was serious. It was in torment. Well, that's the same concept when creation was brought into existence. If the soul lives, the only place for the soul to go is in the eternal realm, and that eternal realm is hell, damnation, persecution, purgatory, however you want to call it. It's done. It's going to be in an eternal realm forever and ever and ever, but on a bad, dark side. But if the soul is dead, it has no more life for eternity. Now, this is a mystery of the spirit. But in order for the spirit to live, the soul has to die. The soul can't live. If the soul is living, the spirit can't live. Now, I don't want to get too crazy, but the spirit and the soul can live. That's where the wheats and the tares join together. And there's a thing called fragmented spirits and all that other stuff. And I don't want to confuse you, but, you know, when you die, you can also fragment. And there's a portion of you that will go into an eternal realm of damnation, so to say. And then there's a portion of you that will go into an eternal realm of glory. But the two are still connected. It's a mystery. And you will still feel pain. I used to say to some people, do you believe in hell? They would ask me, and I would say, to answer that question to you, I would say no. But I believe in being distanced from the glory of God. So it's like having a loved one for someone, but being separated. And you know it's there, but you can't have it. And as far as you are from them, the harder it rips out your heart. For example, if you know somebody and you're going to see them in a week, you know, and it's been 6 months that you've been apart and you're going to see them in another week, you get happier, don't you? Something inside of you is excited. You start bubbling up. And then the day you're going to see them, or maybe that day you see them, you're just like so lit up. Well, this is the same concept in the heavenly realm. You know, it depends on where you're placed. And there's a hunger of love that is so distant. And that's where we might know is hell, torment and damnation. But I will tell you this, if the soul is alive, there's going to be torture, torment, pain, suffering. I want the soul completely gone. And when that soul is completely gone, then he says, I will grant a seat right next to him. How many people understand that a soul and a spirit can live together? There's sometimes that the spirit is manifesting and the soul is manifesting. All comes in the level of love. So we gauge ourselves. What level of love you have for your life. I'll go back and say it again. It's like a marriage. Do you have love in your marriage, in your relationship? Or are you just dealing with it? I look at our relationship with God. Do we have love in our relationship, or are we just dealing with it? How many people know how to live with somebody and deal with it? Come on, it's real. It's real stuff. You know, it's too much for me to separate. I got kids, I'll just deal. It's out there, it's life, it's real. Then you got an opportunity to leave, and then you second guess yourself. No, because you know what? I really do love him, or I really do love her. And then you try to make things better. You try to work things out, communicate more, or whatever. You know, this could be the same relationship we have with God. What's our relationship with him? What's it like? Are we just living with him in that sense of, well, I can't walk away from Christianity. I can't walk away with my relationship with God, you know. So I'll just deal with it and, you know, I'll bring it up whenever I'm in problems and I'm troubled, or I'll hang out once a week and I'll focus on him or what have you. You know, we have to look at, are we walking every day with God? Is the love of God there every day in our hearts? I feel this ministry has been born in a realm of glory to change the church, to set it on fire again. Just like Jesus came 2,000 years ago, I think the church grew cold back then. And they took it as a common thing. And God didn't desire sacrifices anymore because it became a common thing. Everything became common. And then Jesus came and stirred it up. And then the new church was born, rebirthed by waiting in the upper room, and then the outpouring of the Holy Spirit came. I truly believe that we're repeating the same thing in history right now. God is saying that the church has grown cold. He gave us a prophetic word that the church became like the church of Laodicea. And it was like neither cold nor hot, but lukewarm. And that God is like spewing the church out of his mouth right now. And it's not by accident that we've been raised up in a day like today. I mean, he didn't have to do this. He could have left us alone, but plucked us out of the world and put a spirit that burns inside of us with truth. We know, we can see, we hear, and it's like, woo! What are you doing? Then you got the love of money is the root of all evil. They've caused things to turn into businesses. They're afraid of losing their flocks because they don't want to bring a strong message, you know? They don't want to make them feel dirty in some way or another. No, just change the way you're thinking. Don't feel dirty. There was a message that I spoke a while back. Conviction or condemnation, it's the same. It all depends on how you receive it. You're going to receive it to change, or you're going to receive it to run away. Which one is it? You run away, well, it's condemnation. If you receive it, it's conviction. Change the way you're thinking. Well, today I hope and pray, I want to challenge all of us here and those that are listening. I want to challenge, what's your walk with love? Not that you love somebody. Listen, the soul can't love anybody. It's conditional. But the spirit is unconditional. And the spirit loves God. You don't even have to try to love God. The spirit is fire. And that fire will burn in you and you will love God. He will be on the tip of your tongue. The truth will be coming out of your mouth and you won't care what anybody thinks. You have love. But we have to ask ourselves, where's our walk? Do we have love? If not, then we have nothing. With that being said, I'm going to call Pastor Sam up. Because of time? All right. Stay tuned, because it might come Wednesday, and then the message might come Wednesday or it might come next week. But we're focused on denying and killing the soul right now. I truly believe that we are living in last days. Last days of the age. There may be a new age coming, and it's not of our world. And if you look around, how many of us really can see the world changing right before our eyes? I mean, I can't even. Our marriages are changing. Men and women are changing. The beliefs of our, I don't know even what you want to call it. We got a third bathroom. I mean, we're changing. We are changing. How many people understand what I'm saying? We are changing. And then we got other things that are happening where we can't even cope with life anymore, and we have to comatose ourselves. It's just getting out of control. And these things here are signs of the last days, or the signs of the end of an age. And what I mean by an end of an age is the generation that we were brought up in, okay? Hear me out, because I don't believe it's an end of a world where the natural mind might think, but it's an end of an age. In my age, there were only two bathrooms. In a new age, there's three. Maybe at the end of that age, there might just be one. I don't know. In my age, marriage was between a man and a woman. In an age that to come, there are transgenders in marriages and everything else. How many people are seeing what I'm seeing? Now, we are bullied by telling us what you're thinking and what you're seeing is bad and wrong. It's not bad and it's not wrong. If the new age wants to come in and have three bathrooms, that's God. He's doing something. I don't know what he's doing. He's doing something. But in my age, it's foreign to me. And because it's foreign to me, I don't belong in that age. My age is leaving. My age is done. And there's a form of salvation in that age. I don't know what to tell you in the next age. But all I know is I'm a minister to the end of this age. And I know that this age, for the salvation of these souls, the message is this. I don't know how to minister to the others. How am I going to tell somebody about the love of God and the love between this and that and everything else is wrong? How do you do it? As a minister, you're to save souls, right? Awaken them and get them to die so that we can reborn the spirit. That is a job of a minister. Resurrect the dead. Died with Christ, I live with Christ. The soul dies, the spirit lives. Right now, the spirit's dead, the soul's alive. It's another spiritual mystery. Let me say it again. The soul is living, the spirit's dead. Kill the soul, and now the spirit's alive. Let us bow our heads for a moment. I need you to pray with me. God, your will and your ways are a mystery. I know in my own heart, how do you go on from here? In a perverse generation. Who is rejecting your love? The power of will is ever increasing. There's no need for you anymore in the minds and the hearts of this new generation that's coming up. And it seems to me that your word says in the last days, 144,000 will be saved. And that may be true. Let us who hear your word be that 144,000. Have mercy on us and don't let us perish or suffer or be destroyed. Set our hearts on fire, ablaze, so that fire burns the chaff that's in us, and that we become pure and holy in your eyes. We're a chosen people, set apart. Let us stay in your realm of glory. Hold us close and never let us go. Teach us your love and show us what your will and your ways and your pleasures are so that we can follow them. Let us lay our lives down to please you. Not the other way, where we lay your pleasures down to please us. Show us, teach us, guide us. Transform us. Lord, we don't know if we are in that time frame of Sodom and Gomorrah, where you destroyed the whole city and only saved a few. Or if we're in the time of Noah, where you had them build an ark and destroyed the whole area by a flood and saved a few. It seems like there's a pattern in your eyes, God, that you just destroy them all and save a few. I'm asking for your mercy, that you would have compassion on those who are diligently seeking you, and a love where you pour out your spirit on our flesh. And if it's us and we need to intercede, burn that fire in us so that we will begin to get on our knees and pray for the Lord of harvest to come. And save those that are lost. I pray. Amen and amen. Pastor Tim's going to close us. I'm sorry I put people on spots, but he's just going to give us a good one.
Hey, just want to thank everybody for attending today. We thank you for listening on the web. We just hope that you really take this subject matter to heart. It's the true gospel that was even preached by Jesus and the apostles back in the day, that, you know, the only way to have eternal life is that we kill the soul, come out of the soul, and be transformed in the spirit so you can have eternal life. And, you know, it really makes you ponder why you're here and what your purpose is, and this is really what it is, so that we can be with the Father, you know, and we're not damned to hell, you know, into an eternal realm that is so far from his glory. So with that being said, you know, Pastor challenged everybody today to really grab a hold of this message and chew on it. And I hope that everybody has a good week. We'll be back here Wednesday night, 7:30, and then we'll have Sunday service next week. So everybody be safe. Keep those that weren't here in prayer. As they're probably traveling and on vacation, and we'll probably see them next week. So, everybody, God bless. Have a great week, and we'll see you hopefully Wednesday night.